Need some motivation on your Chinese business endeavour? Maybe curious about what the Chinese business environment is all about? Or want to laugh out loud listening to war stories on the ground in China? Then this is your show, China Business Cast. And your host, Michael Michelini.
Welcome to China Business Cast. I'm so excited to be with you, and I hope I can live up to JP's great job running this podcast over the years. So my name is Michael Michelini, and I'm going to be holding the torch going forward, interviewing people doing business on the ground here in China, whether it's selling, importing, hiring, or other war stories and battles. So I hope to keep this fun and get you guys learning and interested and succeeding in your businesses. So I'd love any feedback. So please leave a comment on the episode show notes at chinabusinesscast.com/episode20. Also, I'm going to kick off my start here with a free gift for everybody. I have a checklist with some materials and templates for setting up a company in China, the documents you need and files. So if you want to check that out and download it, it's chinabusinesscast.com/checklist. Okay, and now for the first episode I'm doing on this show, we have Harsh Sethi, an Indian entrepreneur in Guangzhou, China, working on a startup, MediBuddy, which is helping people find hospitals in China and in Asia. And today he's going to be giving us some tips on how expats can get healthcare in China, as well as the story of how he started his business in Guangzhou. So let's listen in. Okay, thank you everybody for tuning in to another podcast show. We have with us Harsh Sethi. He's here in China, and thanks for being here, Harsh.
Yep, sure.
So we were talking about your name just now. It means happiness in Hindu, right?
Yes, in Hindi.
Yeah, right. That's cool. And I remember we connected. I was researching our show and how we knew each other, and you actually added me on WeChat from following my blog, and you sent me some really good wishes during that tough time with my newborn baby.
Miles.
Yeah. So thanks again for that. And yeah, look, you know.
How's he doing right now?
Miles is great. He's sleeping in the other room, actually.
Okay.
Luckily, we got him to be quiet for this interview. So he's great. He's almost a year now while we're recording this show, and it's almost kind of walking. So it's really a great experience to be a father. So thanks, man, for your support, and great to have you on the show. So maybe you can first just give people a little bit of introduction of yourself.
I'm a medical graduate, so technically I'm a doctor, but I don't see patients actually. I do more of research, more of cancer research. And at the same time, I'm also running this startup, MediBuddy.com, right, which helps expats find clinics, you know, within their city, see their reviews, and, you know the details of the clinic.
Cool. I think I needed that. I mean, with my hospital, sometimes choices in China over the years. So it's a great service. So yeah, it fits into the topic we chose today is, you know, medical options or, you know, services in China for foreigners. So, but first, before we get into that, you know, I think let's just go into your China story. Of course, we all have our longer story, but maybe just give us a brief idea how you ended up here in China.
Right. So, I mean, we were preparing for pre-medical examinations in India, which are quite competitive, right? So, I mean, based on your rank, you get to choose whether you get, whether you get to be a doctor or whether you get to be a dentist, right? So, I was offered a dental position, but that's not something I wanted to get into. So, and there were a few scholarship opportunities in China. That's how I ended up over here.
Okay, cool. And how long have you been here now? About?
I've been here for 6 years.
Oh, cool. So your long-term plan or you know?
Yeah, I stay. I would like to be connected with China. I mean, for the rest of the future.
Wow. Okay. So yeah, I think it's a great thing you're working on, and let's maybe keep it a little bit general at the beginning. Just I think even I sometimes know how to don't know how to tell a newcomer to China or even somebody's been here for a while, if they have medical kind of like not even issues or problems, or what should they really do? I mean, honestly, I think that's a big thing that foreigners worry about here.
I mean, a lot of them, what they do is they usually ask, you know, their friends that maybe Chinese friends or their other coworkers, expats, right? But I mean, the thing is, a lot of your friends would actually be working in a different district, right? So, I mean, their advice may not be as useful for you, but a lot of them is actually very useful. So if someone has an infection and they want to know what's the best clinic in your city, right? I mean, asking your friends can be a good advice.
Sure. So let's give some ideas of clinics. Like, there's the public hospitals, right? And foreigners can go. I've gone and I've just paid in cash, and there's been some stories, but some good and some bad stories. But so there's a public hospital, maybe there's private hospitals, like maybe what other choices? I mean, what, maybe go through some ranges or some.
So, I mean, the public hospitals, they have, you know, there would be some nurses and a few doctors which can speak English, but I mean, the issue is, if those doctors can speak English and very well trained, they still can't attend you on a one-to-one basis. So, I mean, while you're sitting and, you know, having a physical examination, there'll be three other people standing in the room with you.
Yeah, true.
Right. So that cannot be very comfortable for a lot of people. And, you know, in certain situations, that just doesn't work for a lot of foreigners.
True. So then is a clinic the same as a private hospital, or can you maybe give us some definitions of what the different choices are?
So then we have, you know, these private clinics like United Family and URAM, right? But I mean, they can be costly for some expats who don't have insurance, right? So the expats that have insurance, it's okay for them to visit these private clinics because, I mean, from my experience, an x-ray in one of these clinics can go up to 800 RMB, right? And for that cost, you can get an MRI done in India. So the other option that people have is, you know, visit these public hospitals which have a private clinic within them.
Okay, that's a pretty interesting. So it's kind of like a... maybe for the cost, it's a mix. It's like a middle ground between the more expensive private hospital or private clinic from a public hospital.
Right. But these are all Chinese owned. So, I mean, it's better than the public hospitals. But of course, you can't expect the same healthcare services you would expect from, you know, a foreign owned entity.
So then would we say there's three choices? There's the public hospital, which, you know, of course, is a little bit maybe risky for the foreigner to go to. Then there's the private clinic, which is expensive if you don't have insurance. And then there's the kind of like middle option, which is the private clinic inside of the public hospital.
Yeah.
But that would be Chinese owned. So it might not be the... Yeah, I think, you know, I don't think
if
we're trying
to... If you have like a mild flu or, you know, something not very difficult to treat, you could go to one of those. But if we're talking about, you know, having a baby or something serious, maybe, you know, a kidney stone disease. So for those, you would like to visit a private clinic.
Got it. So you did mention costs like the x-ray, which you said is like about 130 US dollars or 800 RMB. Maybe you can, I don't want to put you on the spot, but, and I know it depends probably where in China, but do you have that idea, those ideas for us, like costs?
Right. So the private clinics, so an x-ray would go somewhere around, you know, the minimum would be 300, 400 RMB to 800 RMB. The dental costs in the private clinics are quite expensive as compared to the public clinics. But, I mean, it's not as expensive as the West. So people still find it cheaper coming from the West. But the problem over there can be, So there was this recent client that we had. So she talked about one of the clinics, United Family, if you would have heard of it, right?
Okay.
So she called them up to book an appointment with the dentist, and it's an expat clinic, right? So what happened is she wanted an English speaking doctor, but they said an English speaking dentist wasn't available for the next 4 weeks. And
wow.
She was asked if she could, manage with, Chinese doctor. And eventually, what happened is she had to go to visit a different clinic just for the dentist.
Wow. Interesting. Yeah, I think maybe I could relate to that to programmers. I think a lot of people are looking for programmers, right? And they want to have a Chinese startup, but they want an English-speaking programmer. In a way, like a specialist, like a doctor or a programmer, they spend a lot of their effort and skill on that specialty rather than languages. So, I think it just makes it even harder to find a qualified doctor that also is Chinese that speaks English. Like, I think that's just maybe a reason why there's a shortage of these English speaking qualified Chinese doctors. You mentioned dental a little bit. So dental is also the same options. There's private and public choices for those.
Right. For dental work, again, if you want someone who is English speaking, you would possibly choose a private clinic. You could, of course, go to one of these hospitals and visit them, but again, the quality of healthcare won't be quite the same.
True. I can share some of my quick experiences. I've had my teeth, luckily I haven't had anything major work, but I've had teeth cleaning in China, and I think I went to I think it was private, but it was just a couple of hundred RMB for teeth cleaning. And, the guy didn't speak English, but I took my assistant. This is like years ago. But actually, I think a lot of times other foreigners I know and I sometimes get it done in like Southeast Asia or in their home country when they're traveling
right,
back.
Right.
But I think maybe people aren't so interested in dental because that's usually not so urgent, right? Usually it's like medical, it's like urgency. So, but anyway, there's different options. I think I just found one on the street when I was walking between my office and my house. So, they're around. I remember I talked to somebody, that read my blog that had a special medication prescription from the US, and she was very nervous if she would be able to get that in China or even bring it with her into China. Do you know how that kind of stuff works?
Right. So if you have a prescription and you're carrying medications, you can carry, amount up to 6 months or 1 year, depending on how much is that, how many tablets you're carrying and what your dosage is, but usually they allow you to carry your medications along with you. If you want to get your medications in China, you can, most of these private clinics, they actually have a pharmacy within them. So you can actually go and give them your prescription and they'll get you the medication.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I remember there was like a big pharmacy almost inside of the hospital, right? Usually it's on the first floor. And and then you can show them your receipt from the doctor and get it done like that.
Right.
So I have it on my list, but insurance, which is a very complex thing, it's just kind of like a line item I have here.
Right.
But you mentioned earlier about like public or private hospitals being okay if you have insurance to cover it because it's a little bit more expensive. Do you want to give us a little bit of an overview of medical insurance options?
Right. So a lot of the private clinics over here, they have direct billing with the insurance companies. So recently we had one of this review from one of our friends in Shenzhen, and he told us about that there was this clinic in Shenzhen which had, the main reason why he went to that private clinic is because they had direct billing with his insurance company, and he found the services quite impressive.
Great.
Right.
So that kind of goes into some examples. That sounds like a good example, but I think sometimes people learn and understand things better by by maybe hearing an example. So then if you want to expand on that, or do you want to give us another example of like a perfectly smooth experience?
Right. So the clinic that he actually went to, I actually don't have the clinic's name over here.
That's okay. Right. That way we can always link it if people want to see on the show notes. You can don't have to give us the exact name.
Right. So, I mean, if you have direct billing with the insurance companies, it's a lot more easier for expats to, you know, rely on the clinic for all the troublesome paperwork.
True.
Otherwise, you have to pay in cash and then you have to just keep on working to get that money. And you really don't know when you will or even you may get it.
Exactly. So it would be like a reimbursement is what they call it, right?
Right.
Yeah. And then, yeah, I mean, that must be complicated because it's Chinese receipts and Chinese like documents. So you'd have to, I guess your insurance company could read the Chinese, or do you have to have it translated? Do you know how that works?
No, actually we haven't had this experience. So, I mean, most of the clients, they try to rely on these clinics, which have direct links with the insurance companies. But yes, I mean, the Chinese clinics will, of course, give a papia, which would be in Chinese. So it should be probably quite complicated back home how these papias would translate over there.
True. So I guess you're basically recommending find a clinic that has direct billing to your insurance provider, right? So cool. So that's a positive. So I guess basically somebody would either, I guess we'll talk about your solution more later, but you know, use your website to find a clinic that has direct billing with their insurance provider. And if not, maybe their friend tells them about one and then they call them up with the doctor before they go and confirm it, or they could maybe go and visit a hospital and ask there. I mean, how does somebody find out if there's direct billing?
Right. So I mean, most of these clinics, we link back to their website and you will see in their footer, they usually put the insurance companies have direct billing with. A lot of the clinics over here have, you know, direct billing with maybe over 20 insurance companies. So, I mean, that's actually quite impressive given, you know, they can cooperate with 20 insurance companies and provide you a complete service.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. So maybe we'll have some more fun stories. Is there any like stories people can learn from that maybe didn't go so smoothly?
So there has been this situation in which one of my friends actually went to one of these international clinics over here in Guangzhou, and he just went for a regular urine checkup because he was having pain while, you know, urinating.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, without a lot of checkup, I mean, I think based on a physical examination and then most likely the person just ran a urine test, and the doctor suggested him that he had cancer in his kidneys.
Oh, no.
Right. And I mean, he got really into a panicky situation. Right. And he went back to his country and then he realized that it was just kidney stones. And
horrible.
I mean, he spent a lot of money as well, of course. But I mean, the stressful part is that, you know, giving a misdiagnosis. So some of these clinics are not as competitive as they are supposed to be. So okay. You really have to be aware of which clinics to trust and which clinics to be careful of.
True. Which, yeah, I mean, of course, it's through, I guess you would find out through like expat websites or referrals or your solution, which we're going to get into in a second.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, the next one kind of goes into the differences, maybe how it works with different expats, like Europeans, Americans, Indians. Do you think any difference with the nationality of the person and how they should do things from your experience or?
Right. So, I mean, if you look, there are a few specific Japanese clinics that Japanese people like visiting. So the person who actually we were talking about, he the one who recommended a clinic in Shenzhen, he actually went to this Japanese clinic and he was quite impressed because, I mean, most of the patients over there were Japanese because I think they offer Japanese translation services and they have regular, you know, doctors flying from Japan to visit these patients.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. So was he Japanese? Is he happen to be Japanese or was he not?
He doesn't happen to be Japanese. He's Turkish.
Okay. Right. Definitely not Japanese. Yeah.
Right. So, but he was very impressed with the services. It's a Hong Kong owned clinic.
Okay. Cool. But which is interesting. So maybe people could look for hospitals that are maybe from their home country or maybe they would look for Japanese hospitals or?
So, I mean, looking for a foreign owned hospital or foreign owned clinic is usually a good idea.
Okay.
Over, you know, looking for some of the Chinese owned clinics, they cannot be as good because a lot of visitors over there will be Chinese and they won't really focus on the expats so much.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we're learning with the China tech world, which maybe we should do another show about different, like, your experience with Chinese technology. But yeah, I mean, China is just its own like world, right? So, yeah. You know, they just, the way they handle users and you know, customer service, and it's just the nicer way to say it is just different. So yeah, it's just a different world here. So I think we should get into your story here, your startup, MediBuddy, right?
Right.
So you seem pretty excited about it. You've been asking me some questions. You've been working really hard for at least a few months that you've been really actively talking to me. So when did it get started and how?
So it started with the startup weekend last November.
Okay, cool.
Right. So, I mean, it just came out of the blue, actually. So we just wanted to visit the startup weekend and we didn't really had a plan to, you know, pitch our own idea. But I mean, so when I was working in Singapore in 2010, during that time, I actually got attached with the idea of medical tourism. And because I wanted to keep a link back to Singapore, and, you know, that idea just resurfaced during the startup weekend. And we actually ended up pitching and got the most number of votes. So, I mean, the idea came actually first. And then we ended up building the startup, and I mean, people really liked it, so we continued.
So is it a mobile app, is it a website, or is it
so it's a website where, you know, you can search clinics by city and read their reviews, or if they have any packages maybe for dental cleaning, or so you can look at the packages. More importantly, if you can read the reviews of those clinics, or if you have had a bad experience, so let's say, you know, one of the clinics you went to, you didn't have such a good experience with the doctors over there, you can actually post a review about them and let other expats know to be careful with the clinic.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I think this really is useful. I guess I sometimes wonder, what if the clinic finds out and doesn't like what you said?
Right. So, I mean, we actually, when we get a review, we actually email the clinic and tell them that they have received the review. And so usually if someone gets a bad review, we want the clinic to, you know, maybe apologize or at least improve their services for the next time, because it's usually not the entire team that's not very functional, but it's just, you know, one or two doctors which may not be as competitive as the rest of the team.
Got it. Well, that's pretty cool. I wonder, how do they usually react?
So, yeah, initially, of course, everyone takes it to their ego, so they don't really getting a bad review. I mean, everyone likes getting good reviews, right?
But, of course.
Right. But, yeah, I mean, eventually they have to understand that there has to be some of their fault. Of course, we try to, you know, restrain from putting offensive comments, so we ask the users not to put any sort of, you know, offensive statements in their comments. But as far as they are being, you know, scrutinizing the clinic for the right purpose, I think it benefits both the patients and the clinics.
Got it. Yeah, no, I think it's true, and hopefully they're improving their processes. So let's maybe go through something like a listener today. They would go to medibuddy.com, right, and search by their location, probably.
Right.
And maybe go through the process with us.
Right. So, I mean, if you want to visit the clinics in China, you can just select China and whichever department you're looking at. So let's say, you know, you want to go to a dentist, you can select dentist and select China. And you will be in the next page, in the search page, you'll get all the cities. So you can select the city that you want to be looking at. And based on their rankings, we rank the clinics.
Got it.
Right.
Yes. Yeah. So that's helpful. They can make a better decision.
Right.
And cool. And then they would just click the link. You said they would go right to the hospital website, or could they?
First, you will actually look at the reviews of the clinic through the website. And then if you want to go to their website, we just link back to them. So you can actually go to the clinic's website, and we even put their location on our website. So if you want to just check their location, if they are located nearby your region, so you can check that.
Okay. And then I think before the show we were chatting and you said that this is also for the Chinese market too, or?
Right. So, I mean, a lot of our customers are actually medical tourists, Chinese medical tourists who want to go abroad for medical treatment. So a lot of them go for IVF treatment to the US or Thailand. And, you know, a lot of them actually go for cosmetic treatments to South Korea.
Got it. Yeah, yeah. I see these signs on buses and elevators about that a lot. And
right. So it's quite a big market for them, actually.
Yeah.
And right. So that's basically what we are doing.
So I'm just, so you're charging like listing fees or,
so at the moment we are not charging anyone any fees, but in future we plan on charging the clinics, based on the leads we generate for them.
Yep. Yep. Cool.
Right.
Okay, great. Sounds like a great business, and hopefully it helps some of our listeners maybe find some medical providers near them. So thanks again for being Harsh, and maybe just share how people can reach out to you and your business.
Right. So they can email us, or they can contact me. They can actually find me on Google. So, I mean, I think my email and all my, you know, contacts are available on Facebook, Google, everywhere.
Okay. We can link it on the show notes too, right?
So, sure.
Okay. So yeah, I'll just collect that. And then it's medibuddy.com, MEDDIBUDDY.com.
Right.
Okay. Great. So that's all I have. And thanks for coming on.
Yep. My pleasure.
Thank you, Harsh, for coming on the show and sharing. Please be sure to check out his business at medibuddy.com, MEDDIBUDDY.com. And stay tuned for future episodes. We're going to be always focusing on inside of China business each and every show. If you have a topic you'd like, please comment on the show notes at chinabusinesscast.com/episode20. And don't forget our free checklist I'm giving away, chinabusinesscast.com/checklist. Till next time, best of luck in your China business endeavors. Take care.
Doing business in China is a complex world. You can quickly feel alone and lost in its maze. But don't worry, China Business Cast is here for you. Sign up for our newsletter and regular updates on our website at www.chinabusinesscast.com. Thanks for tuning in.